Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Maseches Bechoros Daf Mem Tes. We begin at the Mishnah, which is 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Meis HaBen Mitech Shleshim Yoyim. So this Mishnah is based on the Pasuk. V'fuduyav mi'ben chodesh tifta. The redemption of the firstborn son is meant to take place mi'ben chodesh. As soon as he hits a month, as soon as he's a month old, you have a mitzvah pidin aben. What happens if the child, lo yaleinu, passes away before that point? Meis haben b'toich shleishim yom, says the Mishnah. Aval b'shanos on the koyin, even if it so happens, that father already delivered that money to the koyin. He advanced it to the koyin. Now, how is this meant to be done? We'll see in the next sugi b'ezras Hashem how exactly this happens. But in any case, he gave the koyin the money already on account of the future pidin haben. Yachser. Now the child passes away, the koyin owes him a full refund because the chiv had never been activated. However, la'achal amid yom, the child survived past 30 days and now he passed away. It's exactly the opposite. Ava b'shaloyna asan yitin, even though the father hadn't yet paid, yitin, he must do it now. Astonishingly, even though the child's not here, pidyon still applies on the neshama, whatever, right? So, interestingly, Tosfos points out that perhaps you should leave out the Shechiyonu in this case because of the tragic circumstances. Typically, you take two brachis, Asher Kedshanu for the pidyon, and then Shechiyonu for having the privilege, the opportunity to experience that delight, that excitement, that opportunity to do the mitzvah. And perhaps it's not appropriate since the Rama actually says, the Rama Paskin said, we leave out the Shechiyonu, but the Chiyuv of pidyon aben is still applicable. Interesting. Now, let's say the child died not before 30, in which case the father is exempt, not post 30, in which case he's chayv, on 30 exactly. Meis b'yom shleishim. K'yom shelefanav, we treat it like day 29, and there's no mitzvah yet. That is Tanakama Shita, who holds that, when the pasuk says p'tuiv mi ben chodesh, it means going forward past day 30, starting from day 31. Rabbi Akiva Omer, well, I'm not so sure. Maybe day 30 is already chayv. And therefore, we leave it as is. Ibn Asan Layitil, father already paid, he can't retrieve it. Ibn Asan Layitil, but if he hadn't yet paid, he doesn't have to pay. Okay? By the time I do Rabban, let's go back to Rabban, who say the mitzvah only kicks in past 30. Gamri Chodesh Chodesh Mimidbar. They learn it through Gzeres Shavah. By Pidin HaBen it says, Uptuyev miben chodesh. And likewise, in the account, in the Midbar, when they counted the Bechirim, it also refers to chodesh, but there it says, miben chodesh v'malo, past day 30. So we compare notes. Ma'asam v'malo, just like over there, it's only past 30, afachanami v'malo, likewise over here, by Pidin HaBen, it only begins on day 31. Rabbi Akiva, however, Masapka is not sure. Shall we take this route, or perhaps not. Why? If you take a look by the Erechin, where a fellow pledges the value of another yid, the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah sets forth the, you know, fixed rates based on gender and age. And there it says, Mu'malo. Where we learn that the lowest age bracket is past 30, starting day 31. But like Gemira Mimidbar, now why does Torah have to go out of its way and spell it out over there? Why can't we just learn that from the Bechirim count in the Midbar, that it starts from day 31. Why the repetition? And we know, when we encounter a repetition in the Torah regarding the same matter, what is the Torah telling us? It's limited to those two matters, and we don't apply it elsewhere. Whenever we have two psukim converging on the same matter, Eimelamdim, it's limited to those two settings and is not applied further. Okay, that's one approach. In which case, only by Erechin and by the Bechor count in the Midbar did it begin at day 31. But in terms of a standard Pidyon HaBen, perhaps day 30 is already ripe. Oidim, on the other hand, perhaps we should learn from there. Ki ein melamdin la'alma. It's true. We don't transmit that information to other matters. It's limited to those two circumstances. But they can learn to their own sake. Meaning, it's pretty much in the same context. I mean, Pidin HaBen is going to be learning from the Bechirim in the Midbar. They're both Bechirim and they're both, you know, the same type of circumstance. So perhaps it's not considered like you're exporting. You're just comparing notes. That's why Rakiva wasn't sure how to treat it. So we leave it status quo. You paid? Good. If you didn't pay, good. Amar Rav Ashi, Hakol Moedim. Although Rabbi Kiva is not sure when it comes to the 30-day threshold of Pidin HaBen, but all agree, even he would agree, Linin HaVelus, regarding mourning, the child passed away on day 30, he's still considered premature, and there's no HaVelus being observed on account of his passing. Yoyim Shloishim, if he passed away on day 30 itself, Kiev Shulafanov is treated like he passed away before that, he's still premature, and there's no mourning. He's considered non-viable, just like if it would be day 29, 28, or 27. Because until he established himself as a viable child, which only happens after 30 days, there's no mourning. Why do we take a lenient approach when it comes to Avelos? D'amar Shmuel, Shmuel teaches us, Halacha k'divrei HaMekel be'avel. When it comes to Avelos, we take the lenient approach. That's why we apply a kula, and there's no mourning. Says the Mishnah. Suppose, in this case, the child is alive and well, but the father passed away. Mesa'av. Okay, the child grows up. He's an adult. He'd like to know about his history. Was there a Pidin HaBen done or not? So, do we have any indications? It depends on timing. Mesa'av, but the father passed away within 30 days of the infant's birth. We assume, why would he have done Pidin HaBen? Mecheska Shlenifta, the established thinking is that he didn't do Pidin HaBen because there was no mitzvah yet. Unless you can prove otherwise. Achi Yavi Rai Shlenifta, unless he can prove. The neighbors, you know, will relate that there was a party, that there was money. But L'acha Shleshim Yoyim, on the other hand, father passed away past day 30 of the infant's life. We assume that he took care of the, he addressed his obligations. Mecheska Shlenifta, unless he knows otherwise. Achi Yavi Rai, unless the neighbors tell him, look, we know for a fact. You know, Rashi says that Yemerloi means that they tell him that the father instructed B'shas Misasai on his deathbed that he didn't do Pidyon, unless we know otherwise, there's no way to obligate him. Now comes an interesting dilemma. A fellow shows up from Russia, older man with a son, turns out they're both firstborns, and we assume there was no Pidyon HaBen done, not for the father, not for the son. And all he has is five slayim to his name. Who gets priority? Is he paid himself first or his own son? Who liftoys? Who b'noi liftoys? A choice between redeeming himself or his son. Who goes first? Who kaidim livnoi? First goes the father. It's his own personal obligation. Then, later on, he'll tend to his son. Or b'dayim or no? B'noi kaidimoi. His son precedes him. Shemitzvah say I love it because the mitzvah of the father is not really his personal mitzvah. It rests primarily on his father. His father neglected his obligation, so it comes down to him. But umitzvah b'nai Allah, but in terms of his own son, he's the primary obligant regarding his son. So first you have to address that, then take care of yourself. Interesting. Okay, now for the question of how could you do pidyon before 30? There's no chiyah. What's the point of itmar? Here comes an interesting discussion. A fellow decided to forward money to the kohen for pidyon for a baby that's not yet 30 days. Okay, he knows he's traveling out of town, he wants to take care of it. Rav amar b'nei padi, it works. Rav says it works. Shmuel amar no, im b'nei padi, it doesn't work. Now, what are the circumstances surrounding this pidyon? Is the money around? Was it used up already? D'kuli alma mi'achshav. All agree that if he stipulates, I want the redemption to be activated right now on day 15, of course it doesn't work. You can't redeem now. It's too early. On the other hand, if you would have stipulated, I'm only giving you the money now, but it's sort of on account. I'd like the swap to actually take effect after 30. And so he stipulated properly, but another condition as well, the money's around. The money is still around after day 30. He hasn't yet spent. The coin hadn't spent it yet. All agree there's no question about the Padi works. Because the act was done now, the masa was done now, but the effect, the chalois, took effect in its proper time, and the money's around. So at that point, the kohen is zoich in the money for the pinyon. There's no question that works. Okay? So we have a yes, and a for sure yes, and a for sure no. Me'achshav, surely no. Lamed yom, and the money's around? Certainly yes. So when is the machlekes? Ki pligi lachash leshem yom, v'nis'ak l'amoy. The question will apply if he stipulates, I want to give it to you now, but I want the pinyon to only take effect later, and the money's gone. The kohen filled up on gas. But the father still has a credit. Rav Amar b'nei padi, it works. Why is it different than a kiddushin? He gave the woman the ring now. He says, look, you know what? I want it to have a delayed effect. I want it to only take effect in 30 days. Midadava kiddushi isha, it's like kiddushi isha. Awesome, just like over there, lafa afagav, is aklamois, even though the money is gone, have a kiddushi, it works. As we discuss in Masechus Kiddushin, we turn to him and say, sachanami, here as well, no different. Vaishna. I didn't give you the money just, you know, as a gift. Here's the money. On account. And when the time comes, the pidyon should take effect. Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel said, a big difference. You know what the difference is? By the Kedushin. They're both eligible. I mean, you can make the Kedushin now. He decided to have a delayed effect. Okay, that's his decision, and you can do that. But there's nothing wrong with the act. The act was an act of Kedushin. Because he's able to do that. But by pidyon, you can't do an act of pidyon. You can't even give him the money on account of pidyon if it's not yet 30 days. He's not an eligible candidate for pidyon at this early stage. So you can't even do the ma'isa. So, yeah, if the money would still be around after 30, so the kohen at that point will be zoicha for the pidyon. But if the money has been consumed, you can't rely on the ma'asa that was done earlier for the pidyon of now. Because at the time of the masa, it was still premature. Shmuel Amalach, Shmuel responds, Hasam b'yad l'kach mi'achshav, by the case of the kiddushin with the woman, it's within his power, within his ability, if he chooses, to do the kiddushin now. So he can do the act of kiddushin now and have it take effect later. Hacha em b'yad l'ftoisem mi'achshav, here, he has no ability to do the pidyon now, it's still too early. And therefore, it does not work. How do we paskin? Even though we have a rule, whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, we go like Rav. Hilchosuk Rav Bisur, in matters of Isur, we go like Rav. Shmuel Bedin, in matters of monetary issues, we go like Shmuel. And the Gemara is viewing this as a matter of Isur, a matter of obligations, a matter of Chiyuvim. The person explained, the kohen keeps the money regardless. It's like a gift. If it's not a pidyon, it's like a gift. The question is, this is if her father has to redo it. There's a question of chiv on the father. Hacha, here we make an exception. Hacha, sakvei de Shmuel, paskin like Shmuel, that he has to redo it. No, now comes Akasha. Akasha on Shmuel, who says that this premature pidyon doesn't take effect. No, look at the Mishnah. Meis b'dech lamed yom, child died before 30 days. Ava b'shinasan l'kon yachzer lo yichamish loyim. So even though he already delivered the money to the kohen, he has to refund him. That's only because he died, time of the mace. But holy mace, but suppose the child is alive and well, b'nei padi. Seems that it's a perfectly valid redemption. What do you mean? It's too early. Well, who says the money's gone? Huh, but my skin was speaking, the money is around. Okay, the money's around, everyone agrees it works, because the kohen will be zeich on the money now, after 30 days. As the pinyon, Tashmai comes another. Kasha on Shmuel. B'chesk shel niftet, the next mission we learn, that if the father passed away within 30 days of birth, the assumption is there was no pinyon, unless he's told otherwise. Ad shi'am loy or shi'am raya shenifte can prove that he was redeemed. Okay, so theoretically he could be redeemed even within 30. That's a kasha on Shmuel, says you can't. There as well, we're speaking, the money's still around. In which case, the entire process can happen now. Tanli Tana Kameda Rav Yehuda, there was a chacham who presented to Rav Yehuda. The conclusion is like this. He quoted a braisa, that if one redeems it in 30, it works. Amar Lei, So Rabbi Yehuda, upon hearing this brisa, says, what do you mean? Shmuel Amar Imrei Padi. Doesn't Shmuel say it doesn't work? And you're saying it does? Adam is Imrei Padi? And that's how we paskin. V'afagav, t'kaimelon, k'rav b'yisuri, u'kishmol b'dini, even though we have a rule that in matters of Isser, we go like Rav, in matters of money, we go like Shmuel. Hocha, here we make an exception. Hocha, Shmuel, paskin like Shmuel. And the pidyon taking place this early does not work. Okay, so bottom line, a pidyon before 8:30. Depends how he said it. Depends if the money's still around. If he said I want it to happen now, all agree it doesn't work. If he says I want it to happen later and the money's still around, all agree it works. If the money's gone, you're passing like Shmuel, it doesn't work. And it's different than by Kedusha Isha, because there he has the ability to make the masa now. And then the Kedusha takes place later by way of the credit that he has with her. But here, he can't do an act of pidyon before 30 days, so the whole act is invalid. Who lift those? Or would I lift those? Who couldn't lift none? Okay, if there's a choice in the matter, him or his son, who goes first? Tanakama says father's first. Rabbi Yehuda says child is first. Why? Tanarabban. Who lift those? Or would I lift those? A choice between being paid to the father or the son. Who couldn't lift none? Father goes first. Rabbi Daimer, Bnei Kaidmai, the son goes first. Shemetz Vasel Avi, because the son's obligation rests with his father. So his primary obligation is to redeem his son, mitzvah smnei alav. Sorry, shemitzvah say alav, because the father's mitzvah rests with his father. Who mitzvah smnei alav, whereas the mitzvah of his own son rests on him. So it would seem that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing conceptually in terms of who's the primary obligant in each case. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. No. It's just a very, it's a mathematical question. It's a technical question. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. All agree, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that if it's a matter of choosing between yourself and your kid, you have to redeem yourself first. You have to attend to your own personal obligations before your sons. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that. So why does he say otherwise? Rabbi Yehuda, all agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Suppose all he has in the account is 5 sela. And it's a question of myself or my kid. Who kaidin l'bnai? Of course, he takes care of himself before his kid. Why? My time. The mitzvah they all have. The mitzvah that pertains to his person takes priority over the mitzvah that pertains to his child. Even though he's meant to look after his child, but he's meant to look after himself first. Key plig of the question is, Hecha de'ikah chamesh mishupadis v'chamesh b'nei chayrin. Suppose there's $10 all around. There's chamesh b'nei chayrin, chamesh free money sitting in the account, ready to go. And there's chamesh mishabadis. There's $5 in assets that had been sold that are in the hands of a buyer. They're bound to this debt, they're mishubad, but they've been sold. So a fellow bought property from this father, which is worth $5. So the question is how to proceed. How to get the maximum pidyon done. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, a debt which was introduced by the Torah, such as the Pidyon HaBen obligation, has the full power of a formal loan. It's like an ashtar, which allows you to collect from properties that were sold after the debt had been introduced. So the father, Reuven, right, can go collect from those assets to satisfy his personal bidna ben obligation. But he can't use those assets to satisfy his son Shimon's obligations because he sold those assets before his son was born. But did they azel with Taref Meshavdi? Regarding his own obligation, he can go collect from Shabbatim. Ubahani Chamesh b'nei chayrin parakli l'bray. Regarding the son, he'll use the 5 available dollars sitting in the bank. Ubahani Chamesh b'nei chayrin and these 5 free slime, Parak, he'll use that to redeem Leilabre, his son. And therefore, as Rashi explains, he should do the following order. He should follow the following sequence. First, use the money in the account for the son. So he takes care of that. And now he's stuck without money, so he has to go access the Mishabadim for his own obligation. So that's why he should do it in that order. Because once he uses his available money for himself, he won't be able to access those properties for his son because they were sold before his son was even born. For Rabbanu Sabri, Rabbanu disagreed. on technical grounds. Move aksuv v'tera love kiksuv v'shtar damya. A move in the Torah such as Pidna Ben doesn't allow you to collect from a Shabbat. It's like a formal loan in a document which allows you to go. So those are out of bounds. You can't access the properties. The only thing you have is the $5 in the bank. Okay, so there's a choice in the matter between yourself or your son. Who gets priority? Yourself. Therefore, mitzvah day is all mitzvah adif that takes priority. So according to this pshat, there's no major conceptual machlekes here in terms of father and son. Who go? Everyone agrees one's personal spiritual obligations come first. And ultimately, that's what's going to happen. He's going to redeem himself. Rabbi just adds that he should do it in a way that he can address the son as well. And that's why he starts with the son and then concludes with himself. Okay, so conclusion. At what point does the mitzvah of Pidna Ben take effect? Ben Chodesh. So, before 30, Pater. Past 30, Chai. What about on day 30? The Makam says Pater. Rekiva says it's a suffix. Father passed away to Shleshim. We assume there was no opinion unless you prove otherwise. After Shleshim, we assume there was opinion unless you prove otherwise. How, in fact, can you do a pidyon to Shleshim? So if he says Me'achshav, it doesn't work. He says La'achal Lamed, and the money's around, it works. Money's not around. Please rather Shmuel, and Pachlan Shmuel, it does not work. If there's only enough for father or son, we'll agree the father takes priority. But Rabbi Yehuda crafted a system where, at least in this case, where he had five Bnei Chayr and five Mishabadim, start with the son, and then go on to your own so that you can take from Mishabadim and have them both covered. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.